Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by Dow Vineyards and Winery, an exceptional wine tasting experience just a few hours outside of L.A. Immerse yourself in beautiful views, world-class wine, and feeling like you are part of the Dow family. Go to dowvineyards.com/don't-make-me-come-back there for an exclusive offer for backseaters. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me, his kitchen, is a Stephen English. Stand-up comedian, once a week or so. Co-host of this podcast and the executive producer. No, he's a producer, and a darn good one at that, because 2 seconds ago, everything was said except my mic. You continue to sabotage me.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
This is like, I'm trying to get us on a reality show.
If there wasn't some mutiny in this right here, I mean, would it even be reflective of family? In no way whatsoever. There wasn't some dissension.
Just some passive aggressiveness.
Some passive aggressiveness. Some money struggles, whatever your family's got, know that me and Steven got them.
Right.
And we are here in your kitchen. Dorothy English alongside us as well. She's eating currently. And she's holding a little baby Bach.
Yeah.
Who is not eating, but
no.
Looks like he has been. He's well fed.
Yeah,
Everybody eating good.
Oh,
in the neighborhood.
We're blending up steaks and giving it to the baby. I'm just liquefying just filet mignon.
All meat. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. We're trying to get him Iowa strong.
Iowa or Iowa State? I mean,
you know,
Cyclones or
Hawkeyes, baby.
Yeah. Well, either one. Good wrestling programs, I believe.
Right.
Known for their wrestling programs.
And great men's gymnastics.
Really?
Iowa is like the number one men's gymnastics.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Didn't see that coming.
No one did.
What's cooking in the pot there, Dorothy?
A chicken and potato soup.
A chicken, and that's in the Instant Pot? Instapot.
Yeah.
I added the T because I don't need these abbreviations of these millennials.
You got time. You got time to say the whole thing.
I got nothing but time. guys, thank you for, you know, being a part of our little podcast.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, Backseaters, for returning and thinking, you know what? The episodes that I've listened to so far, good enough to come back for another.
Right.
And what more can we ask for that? We have a great episode for you guys today. Today, we have a couple episodes. You know me, I love a good couple episode.
Right.
And we have musicians Drew and Ellie Holcomb. Absolutely, very fun episode, very funny episode, which is good because we're a comedy podcast. if you don't know Drew and Ellie, both are musicians and singer-songwriter types, and really very talented and great musicians. Love their music, and also a good little chat.
Yeah,
we had a good little time. I did it at their house. We were in Nashville, Tennessee, which is surprising that a musician would live there. I know that.
Yeah. Known mostly for their pizza. I've heard Nashville's known for pizza and vacuum. Like, they have a vacuum cleaner factory there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the
and
only
nothing chicken, else.
And nothing else altogether. And I believe their Thai food.
Right.
guys, if you're interested in following them, you can, you know, find all their playlists and such on Spotify or wherever you listen to music these days. And also you can find them on Instagram. You can find Drew at Drew Holcomb Music. That's Holcomb, H-O-L-C-O-M-B, like comb music, and at L-E-E-L-L-I-E Holcomb. Check their stuff out. And I like this episode. You know, we talked about we talked a lot about marriage, which is good.
Yeah.
And we talked about little quirks and uniquenesses of marriage and like getting used to one another's compatibility.
I thought you were going to say smell.
Well, that's part of it.
A big part of it. Yeah.
When, you know, really, when people talk about like how long should I date somebody?
Right.
I think it's long enough to know what they smell like at all hours.
Right. The first time you see them, like early in the morning before they brush their teeth, get a sniff of the breath. See what's going on in there.
I don't know if I can do that for a lifetime. I don't know if I...
Because it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Oh,
no one's breath gets better in their 80s.
No. Yeah. Because a large part, you know, when they're old, like an old lady.
Yeah.
It's the mix of their bad breath and the smell of their chin hair. Yeah. It's a bad combo.
That is
an interesting age where you're just like, you know what? Like for an older lady, be like, I'm done.
Right.
No more plucking. No more. That's the ultimate flex in a lot of ways. Yeah, you know? Yeah. No more plucking.
Right.
That's when you've made it.
Leave. People are like, that's what you're saying. Leave then.
When are you successful in life? When you can retire at a young age? No. When you've been fulfilled in your career? No. Uh-huh. When you have healthy relationships? No.
Of course not. Come on, don't be an idiot.
No more plucking.
Right. Yeah. Tell everybody else, man, you don't like it, you could just go.
Yeah.
Just get.
Can I plug it for you? Absolutely not.
No. Not in a million years.
You think I don't know about these things?
Right.
I mean, maybe I don't see it as well as you do with the vision. Right. I bet they don't even have mirrors. What do I care what I look like? I'm 85. I'm 92.
Right.
What do I care like? Yep. You know what? That big long hair on her chin right there, that is her longest term relationship right now.
she's only up long enough to watch Good Morning America and back to bed.
She started it growing the day of her husband's funeral.
She's like, this is it.
She knows it. She reads it like the rings on a tree.
Right.
For to remind
her. She's like, oh, well, it's time to do laundry. I can see.
it's honestly probably the lightest colored hair she has.
Yeah.
That's why she keeps it.
Right.
Yeah, it's everything silver up top, but she's got one blonde right there, right on the chin.
And you know, we always say blondes have more fun.
Yeah, exactly. That's why she has a good time with her chin. I don't know. I don't like the way that came out.
Hated it.
Bach was offended.
Yeah.
Bach was offended. You know, when you're just freestyling association like this, you never know what's going to happen. So, anyways, right. I just flew in from Portland, Oregon.
Right. And boy, Portland,
stop it.
I won't.
I've been on the road a lot, and I know that because I was in a middle seat, and I appreciated the human contact.
That's sad. You're like, oh, yeah, this is nice.
Yeah, I'd been on, you ever have one of those moods where the captain goes, like, we're approaching our final descent, and I murmured, God, I hope so.
Let's just please make it stop.
Ready to be home. So anyways, it's I don't know, but I was there in Portland with Taylor Tomlinson, who recorded her Netflix special.
Whoa.
Get it, girl. Aladdin Theater in Portland.
Get it.
It was fantastic, man. It was like she murdered, crushed both sets.
Right.
You know, a lot of it was the 10-minute warm-up.
You know what? The blogs have been going crazy about it. The blogs have been going nuts.
Man, who was that warm-up that I had some people, like one person tweet, like, I hope Netflix better make sure to put your opening set in it.
You're like,
you don't know how this
100%
works.
100% how it works.
I don't know what you know about Netflix specials, but I wasn't there as far as Netflix knows.
Your voice might be in it. Maybe do you bring her up?
It was stressful, the whole thing, because you don't want to do a bad job.
Sure.
You know, you want to warm up the crowd pretty well. Thankfully, I got a couple Portland jokes ready to go.
Right.
You know,
I've got in the chamber.
I've got them ready to go. I'm a Northwest kid. Right. I got that. I got some stuff. I got the flannel, the seasonal depression. I got some riffs. I got the PBR joke.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah. All Portland bangers.
Yeah.
These are the hits.
Yeah.
I call them, Seattle's goth little brother. I mean, we are off to the races.
Just going,
bang, bang, bang. Yeah. Like, I'm going to bury this girl on her own Netflix special. No, not in the least. But it was a high pressure. But more so was the pressure of announcing her name correctly.
Right.
Like, now, I wasn't going to say her name wrong, but at the right time.
Okay.
Because it was very, like, I had to hit I had to do it during the third line of the second verse. And it was like a very
coming out and they want to.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Taylor Tomlinson. And like a beat step and then boom. And I'm not going to lie, I murdered it. Easily.
The best part of your night.
The best part of her night.
Yeah.
Yeah, gosh, no. I mean, best part of the special. And I can't wait to listen to it in post where they just put somebody else's voice there. Because I don't, if you guys listen to this podcast, God bless you. I have a terrible radio voice.
I wouldn't say terrible. There are four, unique.
There are four humans in the room that we're in right now. I have the worst of the four. One of them doesn't speak a lick of English.
He just squeals.
And I'm talking about Dorothy. Thank you. That was a laugh and a good one. It was better than just like good one. I also, the night before that, I did a fundraiser. Or it wasn't a fundraiser. It was the Mal's Country Club event.
Oh, right.
Santa Luz? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a country club. I talked to one guy there. I was like, do you live around here? And he goes, we live inside the gates. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I hate that sentence.
Yeah. Right.
Jermaine Dye was there.
Okay.
Yeah. You know Jermaine Dye?
Yeah.
Yeah. World Series MVP, right?
Oh. I'm thinking Jeff Dye.
Jeff Dye. Yeah. Yeah. Jermaine Dye.
Jermaine Dye.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Jermaine Dye was there. And we had a good time riffing about that. He was talking to me. He's like, they had a golf tournament earlier that day. And I was like, that's a bad combo. Because if you've ever done an event after a golf tournament, it's like, oh, so you're tired. And drunk.
And mad.
Yeah.
And usually like really mad about it.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, I was like the first overall pick. And I was like, you are a celebrity and the only black guy in this whole inside the gates. Yeah. Why do you think you were picked first? Do you think it was because you shot a 75? That's a good score, but not country club good.
Right, right.
Anyways.
So you're best friends now?
No, but we are going to Dow Winery next week. And... Boom, 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 boom. I needed a win.
I don't understand.
Well, that was a total nonsensical one. That didn't make any sense. You guys, let me tell you about Dow. Oh, look who just sent me a YouTube link.
Hello.
Guys, I've been trying to get Stephen to send me a clip so I could submit him to open for me at the Ontario Improv, which we're going to announce that date soon. But Stephen, I don't think he knows how the internet works. He sent me a clip to download.
The clip is directions to a store where I'm getting a VHS tape made.
Oh, perfect.
So you can pick it up.
Honestly, old school bookers, that's what they want. They want that with a printed out headshot. And they want you to call them when they get into town for the show.
With several looks, too.
Yeah, exactly. No matter what city you work in, even if that city is a Paso Robles. Hey, hey, kid, I'm trying to do the ad. Yeah,
come on, man.
Real quick, someone get this kid some wine. guys, let me tell you about Dow Vineyards and Winery. A beautiful winery located in
Paso Robles.
It's a short drive from LA. It's located 2,200 feet. Gorgeous, gorgeous views. This estate is the highest vineyards in Paso, and the views are absolutely breathtaking.
Yes, sir.
That whole area is great. It's known for its historic downtown scene. There's great art, tons to do there. And while you're in there, you're going to go to the estate.
Yeah.
But they got some boutique stores, local cuisine. All the things that you want, right?
Cuisine. That's fancy food.
My favorite thing about this, in addition to the delicious wine and the food itself, is the environment, the vibe when you're there. It feels great. You feel like you're kind of getting, you're a part of something.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't some
fly-by-night operation.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for bailing me out there.
You're welcome.
You really do. You feel like you're kind of part of the Dow family.
Yeah.
You're removed, and you're like, oh, listen, I can't. I want to tune out. Yeah, great. Listen, you are gonna be remote. You are gonna be off the grid. Have you killed someone recently?
Get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hide in the vineyard itself.
Right. With among the coyotes.
Yeah.
And you, the feel, coyotes.
You get little berries to
grapes. Stop saying
the little grapes to pick while you're there.
You'll be fine.
You need to get off the grid. You need to unplug either because you've had a great, like a hard time of work and stress and a lot going on in your life, or you're running from the law. Let me tell you, this is the spot. Also, if you are a convicted felon and you're listening to this, or you're just a regular human listening to this, either way, you're a backseater and we appreciate you.
100%.
And you can get a special deal if you go to dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there. That's Dow, D-A-O-U, vineyards.com/don't make me come back there. And you get a special offer to become a Dow member for the day. VIP tasting, exclusive access and seating, a guided tour of the state, a surprise gift, $45 a person. Check it out. We don't have any voicemails this week, but we do have an email.
We have an email, yeah.
Hit me with that. Okay, so this email is from Jesse. Jesse is our racquetballer, right?
Yes.
I love Jesse. Jesse is one of our favorite backseaters. Dear Dustin and Steven, so the subject is need parenting advice. We recently got a video doorbell And we inadvertently caught my son messing up his sister's hair while waiting for the school bus. Like NFL refs, we used this indisputable video evidence to call a penalty on my son. After fulfilling our disciplinary obligation as loving parents, we then posted the video on Facebook for laughs. This made our son really mad, so we explained to him that he is responsible for his own actions and should make better choices if he's embarrassed by his behavior, blah, 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 blah. We also told him that messing with his sister's hair was not a huge deal and that we wouldn't post something seriously wicked or embarrassing without his permission unless it was really funny. This is great parenting advice right here. Question, how much video surveillance and internet shaming is healthy for kids? Is there really such a thing as going too far if parents can capture videos that end arguments or make other parents laugh? I'm sure I speak for many parents when I say that I could not find a Bible verse about surveillance or internet shaming. Please help. Your racquetballer in the backseat, Jesse. What a great email. So how much video surveillance / shaming, internet shaming of your kids is acceptable? It's a fair question.
Yeah.
Your thoughts. I mean, I'm sure you've been doing a lot with Bach already.
Yeah. I've been pantsing him.
Dirty diapers.
I keep pantsing him every time he walks.
Not potty trained yet.
Yeah.
Still not walking.
Loser.
Can't even hold your head up for a minute.
Yeah.
All good stuff. Yeah.
But I don't, you know, it is funny because they always do like the videos. Was it Jimmy Kimmel where they do like they tell them that they ate their Halloween candy just to see that to make the kids cry.
Classic. Yeah.
And I think it was like one of those things where I don't know why we don't need to do it every year. Like and it's the same. So like at this point now,
it's the same idea.
Now it's people like not being creative and like, cause it would, it's funny when you do it like yourself.
Yeah.
Cause if you do it and then you say, hey, I'm just kidding. And then your kids.
Speaking of shaming, could someone.
I didn't eat your candy.
Could somebody effectively shame that child? Jeez. Oh, Bach. Yeah. If you guys haven't already, Steven does have a whole ongoing series on Twitter and Instagram of his child's failures. It's Bach fails. Hashtag Bach fails.
Is it really? No.
That would be spectacular.
Okay, let's get him in the video while we're talking about it.
Well, listen, I have made a career off of exploiting my children.
Right.
And
Right. So you're like the Joe Jackson of our time.
Minus the abuse. I really honestly, Jesse, I mean there's no such thing as too much.
Right.
I mean I even make fun of them when they're not doing anything bad. If they went to sleep, just take a picture and be like, look at this loser sleeping.
Right.
Like
kind of, oh, baby needs a nap.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's gonna be wildly.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. I'm just picturing a kid.
Yeah.
I just sleeping in this. Oh, okay. I want to punch that kid so hard. What a dork.
People with high self-esteem are so uninteresting to me.
Yeah, you need it. Yeah.
And it's never the good households that produce the interesting people. No. If you want your person to contribute to society, start shaming them now.
Right.
And you know what? Yeah, put it all on the internet because you might as well gain from it.
Yeah. Them sweet, sweet clicks, baby.
Yeah. You got to get those likes on Instagram while you can.
Yeah.
Those are going away.
Right.
You got to absolutely do it. So to answer your question, there is no limit.
Yeah.
All right. There's no limit to the amount that you should honestly start sending them to me now.
Right.
We'll take advantage of the little platform that we have and we'll make sure that kid like leaves early and graduates early.
Because that's
what you'll drive him to is success.
Right. Or hardcore drugs. Yeah.
Those different? Are those different? Either way is going to be rad.
Yeah. So, well, we have a video going right now, and we have a kid.
Uh-huh.
You want to shame him? Just give him one quick shame.
I don't know. I only shame my own kid, so that's really on you here.
Well, this is where we ask you, will you be the godfather?
Oh, this late into his life?
Yeah, also after he's already had one. We're gonna get a couple of godfathers.
You know what? It's 2019.
We'll stack them up.
It should be godfathers.
Two godfathers,
absolutely.
Progressive.
There doesn't need to be a godmother and godfather. It's 2019. Stay woke.
Well... I think we nailed it.
Also, guys, if you want to come see me tell some jokes that are better prepared than this, on December 14th, I'm going to be at the Grandstand in San Diego. That's alongside this guy right here.
Yeah.
Bach, not you. Who took your spot. February 9th, I'm headlining Spokane Comedy Club in Spokane, Washington. February 26th, Zanies Comedy Club in Nashville, Tennessee. May 14th through 17th, we're doing 7 shows at the Tacoma Comedy Club. Also, we'll have dates announced probably in the next week or two in Raleigh, Ontario, in San Francisco, and Portland. Those are coming up. wrapped soon, so save the date.
The
guys,
four best cities.
Absolutely. Enjoy this episode with the Holcombs. Thank you guys so much.
See ya.
I love a good gossipy prayer request. Like, oh man, I just got this friend and they are a mess.
It's so sad.
Yeah. Good slanderous prayer request. So thank you for making time for this. As I mentioned, having background children noise is great. I'm almost disappointed that you got a babysitter. I would have loved them just banging on the door
the entire time.
Fingers underneath
the office door.
They're passing little notes.
Yes.
Do your kids do that when you go to the bathroom? Yeah. Have you had that treat yet?
Oh, the notes?
Yeah.
Mainly just the fingers.
The fingers.
The fingers, yeah. I mean, with the age of baby that we have, it's kind of like the door's open because I kind of need him
to not drown somewhere else.
Drown? Is there a body of water?
Just toilets.
No, yeah. There's
other, there's two other toilets.
Quit bragging about all your bathrooms, you guys. It's just there's so many bathrooms.
So many.
Yeah. Oh. And we have so many baths polled at any time. Yeah. You know.
I did come home recently, and there was a. I'm not pointing fingers or naming names because
it was unspoken.
Unspoken.
It was either one of us or a grandparent who left a bathtub full of water, and I was like, "Who did this?" The baby's gonna drown.
Yeah,
yeah, he's quick. His favorite thing is throwing stuff in the toilet. Like, but he waits till you can see him.
Like he's lovey
right in front of the
right
open door, and then you're like, no, and he just flashes you the biggest smile and sprints and throws, and he usually wins. This is River. This is
Rivers.
Yeah. River
with an S. Yeah,
Rivers.
He is a multiple of Rivers. He is not just one river.
Well, you have the three rivers here, right? That was one of my first experiences in Tennessee. The little West Coast boy. I had a friend go. This is Jim, who lives in Murfreesboro and grew up in Alabama. He goes, this is one of my introductions to the South, where we drive by a battle site. You know, this is where we had the Battle of the Three Rivers in the Civil War.
Yeah.
And then he goes, we lost that battle. And I go, you know, in Seattle education, there's no we in the Civil War.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if there Gosh. Was, it wasn't the South.
Exactly. Oh, man. There's so much unpacking that.
Yeah.
Yes.
We don't need to go there.
Yes,
I assume that's why you named him Rivers, though. In
commemoration. Yeah. Well, no, it was actually the, we were downtown and there's this great, like, sort of splash park.
Uh-huh.
And there, obviously, Tennessee in general has a ton of different rivers.
Sure,
so I grew
yeah.
up in Memphis on the Mississippi River. Ellie grew up here, Cumberland River.
On the Little Harpeth.
Little Harpeth. Yeah. yeah her house back to Little Harpeth. And
that's adorable sounding.
Little our middle kid is Huck, you know, which is sort of Huck Finn, Mississippi River, that whole story. And so pretty Southern name as well. And then there are all these quotes about rivers and the history of all the different rivers in the state of Tennessee.
Oh, that's cool.
And we had been arguing, honestly, for like months about the naming of our third child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we both were like, Rivers is pretty cool. And she's like, yeah, Rivers is pretty cool. I was like, and we're done. That's his name.
Yeah. And it's already a show business name. I mean, you got a very famous lead singer named Rivers. Yeah. And so there you go.
Yeah, there's a great songwriter in town named Rivers as well.
On the way. Now, I would imagine that Nashville is young kids. I'm sure there's Rivers and Huck are like pretty low key names compared to some of the things that I bet you get in your schools. There's got to be some like some hazelnuts and.
What are the cold blooded kids?
In San Diego. I'm sure you get.
Yeah. I mean, well,
what's the best one?
Well, we have a lot of Juans and Jose's in San Diego.
Okay.
So our middle daughter name is Gloria, and in Seattle there were no Glorias, and then we moved 15 minutes from the border. There's a few more Glorias. San Diego is not like L.A. though. It's San Diego is much. I mean, it's like a Navy town. It's pretty chill. There's a lot of.
I feel like you meet people named like, you know, quinoa.
Yeah.
In LA. I mean, like, they're going to be a healthy
They
child.
Just named their kid vegan. They just went for it.
They're vegan. What's your name, vegan? I didn't say what do you want to eat.
Keto.
No, I eat what lots of meat. Keto. My name is vegan.
Gosh.
Keto.
Yeah.
Just keto, paleo, and vegan.
Keto.
Yeah,
eat
exactly. The triples. Holy trinity of insufferable social media friends.
Yeah. So true.
You guys, so
like, can I tell you a
please
great
tell
story?
Me everything.
My, I hope this is okay. I'll leave this person unnamed, but a friend of mine just told me this.
Unspoken.
This is unspoken. But So my friend and his wife are raising their kid. They are both, they're both vegetarians. Mm-hmm. And for like pretty, like, you know, they're convicted. They're yeah. serious about it. And so just they had twins and mm-hmm. have fed their kids, you know, what they eat.
Right.
And all of a sudden he said, I got really convicted because I'm like, my kids are going to be those annoying kids who like,
oh yeah.
eye roll when other kids eat chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I have to expose them to meat. And so he started eating meat again.
Yeah.
And he like took his kids to Chick-fil-A and they were like, what are these? And he was like, well, this is from a chicken. And his little girl put it in her mouth and she was chewing it. She was like, Dad, is this a body? Is this a body? And I'm never going to eat chicken nuggets again. I'm like, that's, he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And she was like, I'm eating a body.
Did she like it?
And they, yeah, she kept eating it. They ate three each. He was like, he felt really good about it. Yeah,
love every time. And then she dipped it in Chick-fil-A sauce. Now, is this the blood?
Yes. Is this the blood?
Is this the innards?
Yeah. And then her world went from black and white to color.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Like a revelation.
Do you eat bodies? I do.
Yeah. Love bodies. Yeah. It's funny you say that. There are some friends of ours recently switched to vegan, full vegetarian, and they did like their children now, you know, have to have that as well. And I like pulled the dad aside recently as I just want to let you know, your daughter begs my daughter for chicken nuggets every day. Every day at school, they're like, what? They're like looking through other kids' lunches, like, what meat do you have? Like, the little gems in the lunch. They're like these little scavengers. Like, I just need some protein, please. Because that's got to be a hard switch when you're like 12 and you've gone 12 years just like eating bodies.
Eating bodies, and then.
Something similar happened to me the other day. I had a friend come out on tour with me, and he and his wife have decided to have a TV free house, right? So, mm-hmm. no TV at all. And his kids are like, I want to say like 10, 7, and 4. And we have a piano player in the band who's very young. And we do all these movie references, and he doesn't know any of them.
Right.
And the other guy is like making fun of the piano player for not knowing any of these movies. And I was like, hey, your kids aren't going to know any movies either. You don't even have a TV in your house. And he's like, I guess you're right. I'm like, I'm mocking this guy who is my children's future.
Dang it.
Because we were like, if you build it, they will come. And yeah. He's like, what does that mean? We're like, you know, Field of Dreams. And he's like, I don't know what that means.
You know, man, to infinity and beyond. Yeah. No, I'm not tracking with any of this. No?
This is also weird. All these weird quotes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing that I wonder, like, what weird things that we are raising our kids. Because everybody has, we're all doing something that the neighbors judge us for.
Oh, for sure.
Of course.
I'm just not always sure what it is.
So when I was a kid, one of the weirdest things that my dad did was he was a dentist, and then he quit that and was an investment banker and he didn't believe in t-shirts.
What, like he believed they didn't exist?
No,
like the proof is right here, Dad. Yeah. I get them for free.
Not allowed to go out of the house in a t-shirt unless we were going to play like pickup soccer.
Okay.
So like I always had a collar on and my shirt was always tucked in and my ears were always, you know, lower than my hairline.
Right.
And
like right.
All this like 1950s mm-hmm. you know, kind of stuff. And we make fun of him incessantly now.
Oh yeah.
Like he still doesn't he doesn't ever like wear any flip flops or toes
really?
Shoes. He's like, no, you have to cover your toes. That's disgusting.
Yeah. And so I'm you like, show up to church and shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt.
And he's like, you can't be saved.
This isn't my son. not only did he disown you, the father disowned you. He's like, there's just no way.
Jesus didn't wear a collar. It's in there.
Jesus didn't die for this. Jesus didn't die for... Jesus died for sleeves is what he died for.
He died for sleeves and buttons. Oh. Yeah. So, I'm sure there's something like that we're doing to our children.
We were laughing. We were thinking the other day that our kids will probably mock us for how much we talk about the Enneagram.
Oh,
like they're
yeah.
just
oh,
gonna
man.
Like
yeah.
eye roll.
Yeah,
it,
I mean, I know? Would also mock you for that. But
yeah. I received that.
Yeah,
it's a rebuke. It is like you get on a tour bus though in Nashville.
Everybody's reading something,
mm-hmm. and it's just
yeah.
one person, you really only need one who's excited about it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh,
yeah.
And one who doesn't know. And
right.
then you're off to the races.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, all the numbers have narcissism in common, right? You're like, yeah. oh, you're talking about me? Like, and I get that. And I remember I said this to we have a shared friend slash agent in Kevin Castleman.
Yeah.
Junior agent Kevin Castleman. That's what he's referred to on this podcast. and he brought that up. He brought it up to me, and I was like, I don't think that's all a crock. I don't like any of that. And he's like, oh, that's such a four thing to say. I'm like, don't you do that to me? Don't you
name me?
That's totally. What I told him. I was like, I hate labels. And he's like, that's what four say. I'm like, don't you do this.
Stop it. But to be fair, you aren't supposed to do that. You aren't supposed to just use a number to label somebody. But it happens.
I'm sure.
Kevin, this is your rebuke.
Kevin.
I know you're going to
receive that. Yeah. I'll receive that. We'll all be open-minded.
We'll all be open-minded.
My dad's weird thing was my dad grew up, I grew up with my dad working for the airlines. Like, he worked for Alaska Airlines.
Okay.
And we would fly standby a lot. And he had it in his mind that you were more likely to get picked on standby if you dressed nicely.
He looked presentable.
Oh, that sounds like my dad.
Yeah. And so we would wear the nicest clothes we had. And we wouldn't wear them because we didn't go to church. And we didn't I would have gone to a wedding 2 years before. And he's like, get your wedding clothes on.
Put that tiny suit on your body.
Which is the worst way to fly. Yeah, a little suit, a little tie.
It's funny though. It's funny what you carry with you. I still to this day, unless I'm flying to like a beach town, when I see someone flying in flip-flops, I'm just like, give me a break. Or like, I even
it
Ellie,
lingers
Ellie gives me
unspoken
Ellie, yeah. Ellie gives me you know, doesn't really love this about me, but I even like, you know, workout pants, when people are like, I'm like, don't fly in your workout pants.
Yeah,
put on some pants.
Where you
flew in workout pants today. Yes.
Yeah,
I did an Insta post about that today. I was like, I slept in this and put a jean jacket over it.
Yeah. Not only do I fly in workout pants, I don't work out in those workout pants. That's why I own those, is to fly in them.
Fly. Same.
Oh, that's so good.
They're
the flip-flops, I think, are like a courtesy not to wear, though. Like, first off, flip-flops aren't that comfortable on a plane because, you know, I'd like to have some socks and shoes. You never know where the temperature. And it's a courtesy to the person next to you. Cover up. All skin should be covered up on the
all skin. Should all wear the hijab.
Yeah, exactly. I'm okay with your face being shown and nothing else. Other than, like, just cover it up. For whatever reason, I just...
Social on planes?
Oh, no. Are you?
I used to be. And then...
and then you started flying too much?
And then I started flying too much. And I mean, not anymore.
Yeah.
I can be. I for sure can be. But mainly, have the headphones. I do all the... cues now. It's hard on your voice too to talk on a plane.
Yeah,
I found out. After
it's you got to be loud.
Yeah,
and I always that's a courtesy thing to me too. Of a like, I not only do I not like to talk on plane or be talked to, I don't like to hear other people talking on a plane.
Oh man,
like if the row behind me is talking,
Nashville's bad for this.
We had some like serious marriage like things to work through about how we fly. Because
it's true. I'm like, way more on your page now.
I think that's because you've traveled so much now. You sort of
is that because you're a seven,
the dark side?
Or is that because
don't label me? But I am a seven.
So she would we sit down on a plane and she'd be talking to me and I'm like, what? Are you done yet? You know, like I want to get out. Like this is my holy reading time. Is an airplane. Like when planes got Wi-Fi, I was like, no.
Yeah.
This is my book time.
You had to read,
You had
no other option.
Yeah. And so Ellie would just be talking. I finally was like, hey, I just sit her down like at home. I was like, hey, I love you so much.
But this hurts my neck.
But it hurts my
neck.
And
my heart.
It does hurt.
And my voice. And my heart.
My neck and my heart.
So that was phase one. You'll love phase two even more. So then we start flying so much and one of us has to sit in the middle. And after a while, she's like, I really like the window. And I'm like, I really like the window.
Yeah.
It's like, well, here's a solution. We don't have to sit next to each other on the airplane.
Oh, my.
So we usually sit one in front of the other.
Yeah.
And we sometimes have had people be like, hey, that'll like recognize us and be like, hey, we're fans of y'all's music. Saw y'all weren't sitting together. Is everything okay?
And this is always on Southwest.
It's always on Southwest. So I'm like, A, yes, we're okay. We just don't like, we both like the window seat. And B, mind your own business.
And C, we're on Southwest. We're all in this together. Yeah. Don't judge anybody.
That's right.
Yeah. There will be a song at the end of this flight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Ellie does write songs a lot on airplanes, like in her voice memos.
I do. It's really awkward. And
I thought you were talking about the song the flight attendant was going to sing.
Well, I write Southwest jingles as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I
didn't even know that.
I do. In a world full of no, we're a plane full of yes, because that's how we roll. It's Southwest. I don't know how
you
to
can't give
it give to
that
them.
Away.
I know.
You
well,
can't.
It's on their napkins. So yeah. They wrote it, but I just put a melody
that
to
was
it.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I do it. I think
I'll
about
text
it all
Southwest
the time.
When we release this.
Yes.
Thanks. I'm just trying to get it out there.
Absolutely.
Really want them to sing.
You don't
that.
Even care about the money. Just artistically, no. You
just
need
artistic.
To hear one flight attendant say that at the end.
Yeah,
of the
I really do.
I got a song for you guys.
I always hope when I get on a Southwest flight that I will see the people who the fun people that they photograph, and I always look at their names,
right?
See, so I can just say hey.
So you do have some social. Amount of you on that plane.
I
you want to see that.
If it's a famous flight attendant.
I hate the jokes. I can't.
Oh, I can't do it.
I can't do it with them. Because I'm like, I wish you would just go to open mics like the rest of us did and you would
earn this audience. Yeah.
You know what? That is...
It bothers me. I'm irritated. Yeah.
When I was a kid, we didn't have Southwest in Memphis. We had Northwest, which is no longer now part of Delta. But we would drive sometimes to Little Rock. Yeah, that's right. We'd drive to Little Rock to fly the cheaper Southwest flights. And I remember the first time we did it, I was probably like 7. And we're on the runway. And I'd always felt like flying was really stodgy. And I was always nervous about flying. And so we get in the plane. All of a sudden, the pilot comes over the thing and starts, as we're starting to take off, he's like, his riser take off. He's like, whoo, whoo. And I was a 7-year-old. I was like, this is amazing.
This guy rules.
I love flying. Oh my gosh, I want to be a pilot.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
I guess there have been a couple exceptions, but in general, man, I just, ooh. That is pretty funny. We had in our marriage, we have an equivalent, thing where like we had like some friends, we told them in like confidence, it was more like kind of like casual, like hey, like 4 or 5 years into our marriage, Melissa and I are like, hey, what if we just had different blankets? Like, what if we didn't use the same blanket? This is very similar to your window seat, where you're like, I like my blanket and I hate when you take mine, and these are what if we just got our own? And we had some friends like really like concerned, like, yeah. But like, the symbolism, and you're like, or we just sleep
just
better.
Sleep better?
Yeah. Like we share checking accounts. Is that not enough? Is that in our lives together?
In our lives,
in a house, and we're
our
sharing
deepest secrets.
We're sharing the bed together.
Yeah,
but you have to have the blanket. Why? And why do you have to? Why is the blanket? Why? We'll just share pillows at this point. We'll do a sleeping bag. Is that good enough for you?
They do make the double ones. I just saw.
It sounds awful.
It does sound awful.
Melissa and I anytime like we're like in a hotel and we get like the true king bed because we have a queen, and you're like, oh my gosh, I love how far away you are.
We just switched. And it's been amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
love it.
And I don't mean to get personal, but yeah, we were not, we're not cuddlers in bed. We're just like, hey, you go.
That was a huge disappointment to me when we first got married. Honestly.
Longingly looking over her shoulder.
No,
are you coming over?
He would cuddle, you know, but we were probably married for, I don't know, 2 months. And he has
not slept the entire time.
He hasn't slept.
Yeah. Super light sleeper.
Fall asleep cuddling. And
I'll be sweating.
Because you were cuddling falling asleep?
I was, yeah. I was, I'm totally cuddling. And he finally looked at me one day, his face, he just looked really dark. Like he looked down and I was like, babe, what is wrong? And he was like, I'm so sorry, but I haven't slept in 2 months. Really. And I need some space.
Yeah.
When we sleep at night. And I was like, oh. Okay.
And then like a week later, I told her I didn't like eating ice cream out of the same bowl as her.
Oh, man.
And that was even tougher.
Yeah.
She really had a tough time with
it. It sounds like you guys almost got a divorce in the first 6 months. Yeah. You really got it.
We dove into the heavy stuff.
Yeah.
But it was definitely like.
There were just a couple things.
She was like,
that.
In my life, I'd always imagined that we would just like sit on the couch and eat ice cream together. And I was like, well, I've always imagined that I would keep eating ice cream the way I want to eat it because I didn't make a vow about how I was going to eat my ice cream.
This didn't come up in premarital counseling.
It didn't. And you also don't like the sun.
I
mean,
I cuddle plenty, you know, enough to have children and stuff.
You don't like the sun? Is that the one? Did you say that?
Or
our sun? Which one did you say?
Oh, no. The sun. We really like our
sun. I love our sun.
Yeah.
No, the sunshine. I like to be around it, but I don't like to be in it.
Okay.
Like at the beach.
Yeah.
So we're on our honeymoon and it's hot though.
Where'd you guys go?
The Gulf. We're like down in Gulf Shores. And we're it's hot. It's summertime, and mm-hmm. it's the kind of beach where it's like 85 and sunny. And if you're sitting out in it, you sit and sweat.
Yeah.
If I'm sweating, I want to be doing something.
Sure. Yeah.
No, I don't want to read and sweat.
Mm-mm.
So I'm just
that's
like
not leisure temp.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it is to her.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go sit under the umbrella, and she's like, but I'm over here, and I was like, yeah, I'll be right. I'm not like 12 feet away. You know, I'm right here.
We're together. We are together.
She's like
pretty close.
But you like the sun. You need to. This is the better seat. And I'm like, that's the better seat for you. But I'm different than you, and I like to sit in the shade. And she legit so like had like 30 minutes of like I need to think about
but
this.
But the deal is, you had endured the sun the whole time we were dating and engaged. You know, yeah. I don't know. And then yeah, it was like we got yeah. married, and it was like. Cool, we're right. for sure doing this right. forever. I'm gonna go sit in the shade.
Now that I've got you convinced that I'm the guy for you,
yeah.
I'm gonna tell you the truth, and I'm gonna go sit in the shade.
Yeah, I want a good 12 feet away. if the sun moves, I'll come back.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait
that's
long right. enough, and I'll come back over here I'll as the be shade right adjusts. Back over here.
It's true.
I love that.
We've made it through though.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, these are like laughable issues because they are small and petty, but yes. they are important.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can't. We learned like pretty early on in our like I can't be a passenger in a car. I just
really?
Don't. It's an attention thing, and sometimes I'll get car sick too. But a lot of it, I get twitchy and awful. So like. I drive all the time. And it's not like some old school male. I'm the man that I drive. I'm like, you will hate me if I'm in that passenger right now. I'm going to want to roll out of the car.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
And that was, because it's kind of like you said, well, with like, we were talking about like with the blanket or how you sleep. Like, well, I've always been the driver. Like I drive you get used to a certain thing. Yep. And now there's another person around. You're like, I guess I'll have to adjust, you know.
Yeah.
But it is, yeah, as far as issues go, pretty minor. But if you don't
for
work
sure.
through them, when you really, like, if you have real issues, that stuff will drive you crazy.
Yeah.
The small stuff. Yeah. That's right. It will.
Yeah. I heard a comedian talking about it the other day. Like, he's like, I knew that I needed to get a divorce because I hated watching my husband eat.
Oh, man, that's so dark. Yeah.
But that's it. There's all this other stuff, and then eating.
Like, he always put it on one side of the mouth, and I would just fantasize about punching it out and it coming out the other.
Well, yeah, Bill Murray said, somebody asked him, what would you, you know, what's your advice to people who are engaged or whatever? And he said, don't get married until you've watched them load the dishwasher.
It really is. It's not to again do my act, but I do have a run of things where I talk about it is as much about adoring somebody as it is enduring them.
Yeah.
Where like you have to be able to stand their annoying things.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I watched this morning. Actually.
Oh, did you? Yes. Oh, of the bit.
You're
yeah.
like find the most annoying thing about
yeah.
them, and if you can do that,
if you can stand their thing.
Then that's your soulmate.
And yeah. And it's real truth to me because that I do things that people who like travel with me drives them insane. They're like I lose stuff all the time. And like mm-hmm. my wife's like, oh, no, that's cool. I'll help. And she's great at helping me find stuff. Like she's like, it's a little adventure. She's like, but people who work the road with me are like, oh, great. No, we'll just be half an hour late because of you again. But she can stand. It's like, no, that means
really
we're soulmates.
Sweet.
Is that
yeah.
an issue here? You point
oh, yeah.
To-
I mean, but I'm definitely not. I'm not like your wife. I'm not super patient about it. I'm like, oh, you lost it again. Cool.
Yeah. See ya. You can Uber there.
We went to the worst is we were driving back from Atlanta to Nashville after a show.
Oh, you lose stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. She's the misplacer.
Often. Mm-hmm.
And so we are all the way, like we're 40 miles outside of Nashville. We're almost home. It's 1 a.m. And she's like, "Where's my phone?"
I don't know.
We had stopped for gas like 20 minutes north of Atlanta.
So yeah,
3 hours earlier. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "I don't know." Like, I think it's there. So I call it and the lady answers and she's like, hello. You know, it's like, hey, is this my wife's phone. Did you find it? I mean, obviously you found it. You answered it. but continue FedEx it to us. And she's like, it's Sunday morning at 1:00 a.m.
Yeah.
No. She's like, y'all need to come back and get it. And so we turn around and drive all the way back to Atlanta, get to Atlanta at 4, decide to get a hotel room and we get back to Nashville like 14
right.
hours later.
You know what though? I am really proud of myself that I was so present. you know, in the car.
That you didn't look at your,
that I didn't look
at your phone for 3 hours.
Long.
You're so proud of yourself. You know, like,
this is exactly what the person who made a mistake would say.
But remember,
you know,
remember how special that night was?
Remember the wonderful things about me?
Remember that Best Western off the freeway we stayed in?
So nice.
Man, it was so nice. They had the little bitty tiny soaps that were so great.
Yeah, remember those spongy eggs we ate in the morning before we left?
That's the thing on the road I can't do anymore is the eggs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're brutal.
Like, whether it's hard-boiled or there's no more eggs at any... like buffet breakfast that I can even really look at for more than about 25 seconds before I just go like, I'm not at home and I'm sad about it.
Yeah. 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 It's just kind of touching the food. It's not supposed to bounce. Why do these have weird properties?
Is this a body?
Yeah. Is this a body? Yeah. I just think this poached egg feel like a chicken nugget.
Oh man!
So were there all those like little things though, like that? I always feel like that stuff gets like hyper exposed when you have kids too, though, because now you're more tired, and then you don't really fully realize how many different like small ways you were raised until you're raising a human
little
together.
Little people, yeah.
You know what's interesting for me? I would say not to like sort of take it serious, but
no, please do.
The thing that was the most surprising to me about parenthood that no one really told me about was, I think that especially the first 6 months with our first child, watching Ellie be a mother and take care of her was like the most beautiful and attractive thing I've ever seen. And I fell in love with Ellie in ways that I never had before we had kids. And so no one ever told me that, because people always warn you about all these things about kids, like, oh, it's terrible. You're never going to sleep and work. True.
Right.
You know, they're really annoying. They ruin your schedule. True. Mm-hmm. But then like they also change everything about your sort of like philosophical and heart internal makeup. Like, I feel like it just all these things change really quickly. At least that's how it was for me. And we actually like really had like the first 6 months of the first one was like a really sort of mind-bending time for us in our marriage in a really good way. Now, that's obviously not everybody's story, and our kids drive us crazy. We have three of them, and it's total chaos. All the, you know, but there was something magnetic that happened between the two of us when Amy Lou was born.
Yeah,
that I think part of it was it really changed me a lot.
Yeah, I remember in the hospital first, you know, she was born at night, and then that next morning, so not even a full day later, you know, hours later,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I had fallen asleep for a couple hours, and I woke up, and Drew had Emmy Lou just like real close to his face, and he goes, "Hey, little pumpkin," and I was like, "Did you just say pumpkin? Pumpkin? Are you serious?" And he was like, "I'll say whatever I want to my daughter." It brought levels.
Because I was like so in the moment with her.
Yeah.
Like,
he was just
would,
like,
I would never have said that. Yeah.
There was this level of tenderness that I had no idea existed. And it's not like he was a total jerk before, but he was
just
not.
Partial, not total.
Yeah. Of course,
just
on and off. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I love that.
But it really was. And I had the same experience watching him be a dad. I was like, I don't know, maybe everybody prepared us for the worst parts of it. And so I felt really like the expectations were low.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And then watching you be a dad has been, and still is.
She didn't think you had it in yet. She's pleasantly surprised. Yeah.
I didn't think I had it in myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's been interesting too. Some of the things that were like annoying to me about Ellie, like the lateness, the sort of free enterprise thinking about how a day should look, and don't put any schedule on me. I'm just going to let the day happen and let it come has like been really a tool for her as a mom. But also like she, like in the other way, like some of those things when it's time to like get things done, watching a mom go into like mom mode and get stuff done is like, get out of the way, because this is like she getting it done. You know? Like the checklist gets done way faster now with kids, because it has to.
Yeah,
you know,
you're against the clock.
Like, yeah, it's like, well, there went that day, and that was a terrible experience.
Yeah, I guess we didn't eat today.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh. We didn't eat, and someone pooped on the floor.
Yeah, and that's still
and
there.
That's still there. Yeah,
we really were this summer. I don't know how our kid pooped all over the floor where we were staying, but they did.
Where
and I
that?
Thought I cleaned it all up.
Oh, that was it. Yeah.
And somehow it got into girls. Chaco, we were at a camp.
That should be the name of a parenting book. I don't know how my kid pooped on the floor. Like, there is a mechanics question.
For sure.
Like, how did it, like, did you...
Literally, what are the physics on this?
Yeah, because you did the proper thing of you took off the bottoms, but you, with like, you've been trained to go to the bathroom, but you just didn't go to the bathroom? You got half of it right?
You got half of it right, or you had done some
the
of it.
The best part, though, is we thought we'd cleaned it up. Like,
yeah, we really did. Like, I thought I got it.
At all, and then it's like 30 minutes later, somebody comes in there like, man, it really smells like stuff in here.
And we were like, yeah, it's okay, our kid pooped on the floor, but we already cleaned it up.
And then they were like, nope, nope, there's that's right there.
Yeah,
that's poop. We're like, shoot, we really thought we got it all.
There's so much poop, like IDing that you have to do, smelling the behind, looking. Yeah, is that...
someone has done this.
Yeah, there's nothing like more chaotic though than like a poop in the tub. That's like, okay, everybody stop what you're doing.
Oh man.
Especially
don't
if there's
break
another...
it apart. Yeah,
yeah. You ever had your kids taking a bath together and one of them do everybody
for sure.
Like, man, we really made backwards progress here.
Yeah.
We were trying to get you clean and now both of you need to be quarantined.
And now we have to scrub the tub. You created more work for us.
I started this with one chore, and now I have two huge chores.
You're like, am I doing this right when I'm Cloroxing my child?
Yeah. You just stay in here. I'm bleaching you and the tub. Everybody stay
in here. It's
going to be fine. It really is. That is one of the grosser realities.
The literal crap you have to deal with.
Literal crap.
It happens.
Sorry, we cut you off on a story there, but we both just got so excited.
No, I didn't have any more to that story. Just, I don't think.
Do you feel like, because the other element in there is, and you start to evaluate like the differences in how you were raised, and then also like when the grandparents are around. Like that was a real thing for us. If they're like, we had like, I remember we had one where like one of the grandparents like very like low key kind of handed us a book on like discipline. Like, in other words, like your kids,
you're not good at this.
Yeah. And it was like some very old school, like, you know, dare to discipline type thing. And you're like, okay, I understand what you're saying. You think my kids are bad.
Unspoken.
So much unspoken. Yeah, that's really true. We've got like pretty sweet relationships with both sets of parents. Like Ellie and my mom are literally, I think they're actually like the same person in many ways in terms of personality and stuff, which has been fun. So, and they both sort of have a big tent personality of like, oh, it'll kind of work itself out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my dad is definitely, you know, he was like very much like had a very particular point of view on what parenting is like. And still has that point of view, and it's 99% of it's amazing. Like he did a lot of like really strange punishments.
Yeah.
So like when we talked back,
mostly t-shirt related.
Yeah. When we talked back to my mother, he would make us take off our dirty socks that we were wearing and put them in our mouths.
It's disgusting.
That is so gross.
And so instead of spankings, it was push-ups.
Yeah.
Like, Oh, 50 push-ups.
When did you have to do the teeth thing?
This is really disgusting.
Can you say that on a podcast?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Okay. So my dad was a dentist,
uh-huh,
and I hated brushing my teeth, and I had this thing inside my head that was like, it doesn't matter, your dad's a dentist, he can fix it.
Yeah.
And so when I was probably like 10,
yeah,
I came home from school, and he came home from work, and he's like, got close to me. He's like, your breath is terrible. Let me see your teeth. And I open my mouth, and he's like, get in the kitchen. I was like, oh, no. He gets out his tools, and he gets out a saltine cracker, scrapes all the stuff, plaque off my teeth, puts it on a cracker, and makes me eat it.
Oh. This is terrible. Oh.
And guess what happened after that?
You start brushing
your teeth.
I brush
my teeth. Twice a day, every day, sometimes three times.
For our
like,
listeners,
I am never.
Drew brushed before and is going to do this after,
too. Yeah, I'm currently brushing my teeth. Yeah, that was an
And
early...
you can't eat saltines.
No.
Did he do that with just you? Were you the only one?
That was not a regular thing. That was just like.
That wasn't every Thursday.
A light bulb went off.
No,
and he's
I'm
like,
saying,
I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Did he do that with your brother
or your
sister?
Only with his patients, you know?
Yeah.
It was a joke.
Oh, I was like, I'm thinking the character quality.
My dentist
of
does the weirdest thing.
Oh, man, this guy.
Yeah, no.
Well, your dentist, though, your dentist kind of doesn't want you to brush a little bit, right? Because they make more money on those surgeries. Yeah.
So I brought that up just to, like, I like sort of creative punishments.
Yeah. Yeah. And same. Yeah.
So like the other day,
use, like, artistic brain you got.
Yeah, that's right. So that's like the room is a mess and they're not cleaning it up. And the other day Ellie was out of town and I was like, all right, in 5 minutes I'm coming back here and everything that's on the floor I'm giving away.
Oh, I love that.
And I mean, 2.5 minutes later, everything is off the floor.
I'm noting that. That is brilliant.
It's a good one. And then Ellie's got a new one.
Oh, you come in and all the big kids have just put the baby on the floor.
Right, right.
They're like, I guess
you gotta give him away. He keeps eating our toys. Yes. That's so true. Emily did say the other day, she was like, I liked it better when it was just the four of us.
That is amazing.
She loves her little brother, but he was annoying her particularly in that moment.
Kids are so mean.
They are.
I don't mean
and
it.
But they do tell you like it is. Yeah. You don't have to wonder, which is nice.
You know exactly what's going on in their heart.
Yeah, our youngest, Claire, she's five. She refused to get into the shower. We were like just doing like a quick shower the other day. And she would like not. She was like throwing a huge fit. She's very much the baby of the family, and she throws these huge fits. And she wouldn't, you know, take her clothes off to get in the shower. So I just put her in
with her clothes on.
And that has not been an issue since. Because that is an awful feeling.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. You're just, wet clothes on you.
Oh, my
goodness. Yeah, part of me was like, looking at the scene, was like, oh, that's kind of sad what I just made there. And then I was like, no.
I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
That's actually awesome.
My heart here is to bathe my child. I'm not in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Ellie's had a good one recently where we have a little side porch that's right under a tree and there's always leaves on it and it's got like turf on it.
So yeah.
You have to clean the leaves off pretty regularly. And it's like, that's the new thing. If you're whining and complaining, you get to go outside and pick up all the leaves by yourself.
That's such a somber thing to
do. It is. Yeah. And I've threatened our backyard, which is a lot bigger.
Yeah.
And I've never, they always, they're like,
we're good.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to do that. So that's been... It's great. I'm like, look, if you're going to do something that is annoying to me, which is whining, I'm going to make this, I'm going to get something out of it.
Right.
Like you're going to do this chore for me.
It would be funny if like you did have like an introvert kid who's like, yes, please. And they're just enjoying themselves.
Yes.
Picking up these leaves in the backyard. Just
so our daughter tried that on us the other day.
We knew
she doesn't like it because she's done it like four times.
Yeah.
The other day we've threatened her with that and she goes, I kind of like doing that. And we were like, okay, well then go do it. And she's like, well, I don't really like it that much.
She's trying to get us. She goes, could you make my discipline like scraping the frost off the car? She was like, that would be really great.
But like, no, you like that. That's really fun for you.
You get the tool and absolutely not. You get those leaves.
It's like then you get to make snow, basically.
Whereas like a parent, honestly, like a little backyard time with the leaves sounds
great. Doesn't that sound amazing? Drew, what's your job for the next hour? I want you to go with the bag and pick up leaves.
Yeah. Just, maybe put in an audiobook.
Yeah. Leave your phone in the kitchen.
Just pick up the leaves. I'll sort them. You want me to sort them by shape
no
and size?
No one's
going
to talk to me the whole time.
Gosh, it's going to be amazing.
I can't be interrupted. Well, Ellie, I know you guys have to run. So it's about time anyway. So thank you guys for doing this.
Oh, man, it's been fun.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.